biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back. Another Transforming Conversation for our Christmas season. Pastor Rock, I'd love to look at a message I think you may have preached a while ago, but it's something I've always wondered, and that is about the lineage of Jesus. When I think about the lineage of Jesus and how God had to orchestrate getting his son into earth, onto earth, without sin, without any type of condemnation, so that he was the perfect sacrifice for our sin, it's amazing to me, and it's a little difficult to understand. From the time Adam and Eve was born up until the time Mary conceived Jesus through the Holy Spirit, all that sin, and God had to navigate all that through all those people. So I'd love to hear how this happened in that explanation. I'll just sit back and...
The genealogy of Jesus, the lineage of Jesus, is fascinating, faith-affirming, very scientific.
Right.
And demonstrates the fact that God really is borderline genius. And I love talking about Jesus' lineage and his genealogies. When sin entered the world... Death entered the world. You remember in the garden they were told, in the day you eat of that tree, you will die.
Sure.
Well, the flip side is if they had never eaten of the tree, they wouldn't have died. God didn't create humanity to be mortal. We were created for immortality. Mm. Death is an unnatural thing that was visited upon the human race because of sin.
Right.
But the effect of the fruit was obviously upon Adam and not Eve. Now, they did both die.
Right.
But the transmission of that effect to all the rest of humanity from them forward, I believe, came through the male, through Adam, not through Mary.
Okay.
Now, why? Because Scripture says, in Adam, all die.
Right.
It doesn't say, in Mary, all die. So, for lack of a better term, call it the death gene. The very real physical factor that causes our bodies to die and to age is transmitted through the male, not the female. And since everyone who is born is the product of male sperm, all die.
Right.
There's no avoiding it. Right. We all inherit death because we are all the product of male sperm.
Right.
So Scripture says in Adam, all die, but not in Eve. So that's women have the capacity to give birth to immortality, but it's a wasted capacity because there's no birth without male sperm, and that introduces the death principle.
Right, right.
Okay? So, in Adam all die, not in Eve.
Right.
Now, the Messiah, in order to offer his life as a substitute for our sin penalty, in order for his death to take the place of our death, not just physical death, but spiritual death, he had to be free from death himself. So what I'm saying is, if Jesus was born mortal and destined to die, then his death couldn't have been a substitute for my death. It would have just been his own unavoidable death.
Right.
And yet Scripture makes it very clear, when he presented his life, he was voluntarily laying down his life, that it could not be taken from him in any other way. The Greek word is paradidomai, and it means the voluntary surrender of something that could not be taken by force. So Jesus didn't die because of what people did to him. He died because he chose to on our behalf. He said, "Father, into your hands I now commit my spirit." He didn't lose it. He committed it.
Right.
So Jesus had to be immortal. A mortal Messiah is a useless Messiah.
Right.
So he couldn't have been a natural descendant of Joseph. He couldn't have been the product of Joseph's sperm and Mary's egg.
Right.
So Scripture said he was conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb, in the egg of Mary, who was a virgin.
Right.
Absolutely necessary. Because the seed that was implanted in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit, since it wasn't a human male seed, it didn't produce death. Mary, like all women, had the capacity to give birth to an immortal being. But again, without an immortal seed,
right,
it's a wasted capacity.
Exactly.
In Mary's case, it wasn't wasted.
Right.
Now, so Jesus had to be born of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Why both? Well, he had to be born of the Virgin Mary rather than just appear in this world.
Right.
Because the Messiah had to be a descendant of David after the flesh. All the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah was he would be a descendant of David. Now, in the New Testament, you have two genealogies for Jesus. One in Matthew, which is through Joseph's line, and one in Luke that's through Mary's line.
Okay.
Joseph was a descendant of David through a man named Jeconiah. Jeconiah, or Coniah, was so wicked, God cursed him and said none of his descendants would ever sit on the throne of David. Hmm. So if Jesus had been a descendant of Joseph in the flesh, he would have been cursed and unable to be the Messiah. Mary was also a descendant of David, but through Nathan, a righteous descendant.
Right.
So the Messiah's descent through David was supplied by Mary rather than Joseph, because she was of a line that was not cursed. Joseph's line was cursed. Now,
right,
that does beg the question, how did Jesus get his royal inheritance and his right to the throne, the eternal throne?
Right.
Through Mary, because the right to the throne and inheritance is passed through male.
That was
not
my next
through
question.
Female. See, I knew that was going to be your next question. I saw it in your eyes. Well, according to Israeli law, if there is no male heir, if the daughter is the only heir, then she can inherit the entire family inheritance and pass it on to her offspring.
Wow.
As long as she marries within her own tribe.
Wow.
So, Mary, in marrying Joseph, married within her own tribe. Obviously, Mary did not have earthly brothers to inherit.
Right.
She was the only inheritor. She married within her tribe. And as a result, she was then able to inherit the right for her offspring to sit upon the throne and to pass that on to Jesus.
That's so cool.
Her child. So God in his genius did not allow Jesus to be the product of male seed. He would have been mortal.
Right.
God in his genius saw that he did, however, inherit the right to sit on the eternal throne, because the throne of David in the past was a symbol of the eternal throne that the Messiah will sit upon.
Right.
He did that through Mary, who married within her own tribe and inherited that legal right. So that Jesus was all set up as eternal because he wasn't of human seed, but the rightful inheritor of the throne because he was born of a human mother who was of the royal line.
That's amazing.
So God covers all the details.
Right.
So the virgin birth isn't some mythological thing. It was an absolute essential
right.
thing.
Right.
The other thing I like to remind people of is God set the groundwork for that when he created Eve out of Adam, out of Adam's rib. Now, again, 100 years ago, people either accepted Eve being created out of Adam's rib as truth, or they scoffed at it as a scientific impossibility.
Right.
But now we know about cloning. Now we know about DNA.
Right.
God knew about cloning long before we discovered it in the 20th century. He was cloning the species when he took Adam's rib, Adam's DNA.
That's
and
right.
And produced the woman.
Yes.
But why did he do it? Why didn't he just create Eve out of the dust of the earth the way he created Adam?
Right.
Because biologically, if Adam and Eve had been separate, standalone creations, over time, there would have been multiple human races. You would have had descendants of Adam. You would have had descendants of Eve. You would have had various combinations of descendants of Adam and Eve, but you literally would have had, not immediately, but over time,
right,
multiple human races.
Wow.
Now, the Messiah sacrifice had to be for the entire human race.
Right.
Singular.
Right.
Because Eve was created out of Adam, there is only one human race. That's why I hate the term racism, because it implies there are different races. No, there is only one human race.
Right.
And because there is only one human race, Jesus was able to be born as a part of that human race through Mary, but also wholly divine through the Holy Spirit. And then his death was the substitute for the entire race, so that all who call upon the name of the Lord might be saved. So creating Eve out of Adam was not God showing off. It was absolutely essential. And now we know it's not unscientific that you can take DNA and tissue from one and create another. We've done it successfully with animals.
Right.
God did it successfully with humans long before anybody ever thought of it. So that also, the groundwork for the Messiah was laid in Genesis.
That's amazing.
Because remember then, God said, the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head.
Right.
Not the seed of the man, the seed of the woman. See, now, why did God say that? Because he wasn't going to be of Joseph's seed.
Right. He was referring to Jesus.
He was from Mary.
Right.
The seed of the woman will bruise Satan's head. So,
isn't that cool, man?
Oh,
that's great stuff.
Yeah. So the people who say, "Oh, the Bible's full of myths and unscientific, illogical,"
right?
They don't understand it,
right?
Because the natural man can't see what's right in front of his face.
That's right. That's right.
Because he has spiritual blinders on.
That's right.
Remember, 2 weeks ago, I talked about blind spots, and
right.
we used the illustration of those two tabletops that appear for all the world like they're very different but are identical.
That's right.
That's an illustration of the spiritual blind spots of those who don't know Jesus. It's right in front of them, but they can't see it. They see it as others.
Right.
But once God opens the eyes of your understanding, then you look at Scripture and you see it's not illogical, it's not contradictory, and it's not unscientific.
It's right there.
Remember, who wrote the laws of nature? God.
Right, God did.
But he wrote them in such a way that he could work within them creatively in ways we don't understand.
Right.
And see, what we call miracles aren't really miracles in God's estimation. We say a miracle is a suspension of normal laws of nature. I don't believe that for one moment. I think a miracle is God working within the laws of nature that are hidden to us but known to him.
Wow, right. Amen.
It's God tapping into capacities we're not aware of.
We're not aware of, right.
Just because we haven't discovered it doesn't mean it isn't real.
Or it doesn't exist.
That's human arrogance.
That's right. Something you said really was really cool. You know, God could have just sent Jesus and boom, he was on the earth and created. He didn't have to go through.
No, he had to be a man.
Right.
Because God gave man dominion. When they obeyed Satan, man forfeited dominion to Satan. He got it legally.
Right.
That's why he's referred to as the God of this world. If God had just forcibly taken it back and given it back to Adam, it would have meant he never really gave it to Adam, that he had never taken his hands off it. So when man forfeited dominion, the only way it could get returned was through a man. But a man upon whom Satan had no claim.
There you go.
That's why the Messiah had to be a man, born of a woman, born of the law. Under the law,
right,
but without sin, because he was also the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Adam, the man, lost dominion. When Satan instigated the crucifixion of Christ, he instigated the crucifixion of an innocent man. In so doing, he forfeited dominion to that innocent man. Man lost it. A man had to take it back.
Right.
That's why Jesus had to be human.
The second Adam.
What the first Adam lost, the second Adam regained.
And then the authority, when Scripture says that God, that Jesus now holds the keys to death and hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's the authority.
Satan had them previously.
Right, that's the authority taking them back.
Yep.
Now he has the authority.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas, it's a fascinating time. If
Christmas
we really understand it.
Is based on the entirety of Scripture. Mm. I mean, everything that happened from actually before Genesis, because Jesus is referred to as the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. We think, wait, how could that be? Well, because God knew what was going to be necessary before he created. The cross is not God's knee-jerk response to something that caught him by surprise. The cross was planned before man was created. God knew man would fall. But I think it also reminds us that God isn't bound by time like us. God lives in the eternal present.
Yeah, that's just...
And so... The lamb slain before the foundation of the world is because God's not bound by linear time.
Right. Something we'll never understand until...
When God willed it, it was done already.
Mm. That's right.
And that's why our eternal destiny is done already.
Amen. Amen.
So Christmas is a great reminder of the genius of God. Right. And that you don't have to be embarrassed when you stand in the halls of science by the testimony of God's word. Instead, science should be embarrassed by its cocksure boasting.
Right. Right.
Because Scripture reminds the scientist who is listening that God was moving in this stuff long before man understood any of it. Science came to the party late. Jesus opened the door.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good stuff, man. That's powerful.
Christmas to me is a celebration of God's genius.
Amen. May it be for all of us.